Thank you, Meredith. The latest in sport brought to you by Craig Howard and the boys and girls at Mercedes-Benz Berwick, awarded for the sixth time the 2019 Metropolitan Retailer of the Year. So if you need a Mercedes, get to Mercedes-Benz Berwick. Great to have Brian Gorgian in the studio with us. We had Brian late last year. It was a great chat and we loved it. But this is even more topical given the coronavirus situation. We're all a bit one out, one back here. We're reading about it. It's hard to get your head around exactly what happened. Brian Gorgian was right slap bang in the middle of it, coaching over in China. He joins us in the studio. Good to have you here.
No, it's great. It's great to be back in Australia. And it was earlier than expected. And obviously we were the season was on Chinese New Year. Sorry, season yep. was on Chinese New Year break. And all the guys went back. And there was the two imports, myself and the strength coach who's out of Diamond Creek, Ozzy, good friend. And the four of us are in the hotel by ourselves. And we've got a four-day break. And in China, everybody was excited about that because we'd gone for about 70 days in a row without a break. I mean, they just every day something. So they left. And then you're hearing little bits and pieces about this virus. And we would, you know, go into the township and go to Starbucks, go to the mall, come back to the hotel. They had a nice buffet. About 1,000 people stayed at the hotel. And basically, quickly, over a period of 4 days, there's nobody in the hotel.
That quick?
That quick. Nobody in the hotel. You're walking down the street, and not many people, and everybody's wearing a mask. And then Starbucks got to the point on the third day that the mall got shut down. When you're in Starbucks, you have to wear a mask. And then when you get your coffee, you're not allowed to drink it in Starbucks. You have to drink it outside. And then the hotel, we'd always go down to the buffet for a meal. That was all closed down. And they'd knock on the door. And you'd open the door and the lady would be there with her gloves on and mask with a bowl of rice and some eggs.
What are you thinking at this stage?
I'm thinking, in all honesty, I don't know if it's my personality or what. I never felt like I was going to get I was going to get the virus, or I never felt in danger. Where it hit me was when British Airways, you know, I was getting calls from home saying, "Hey, are you all?" And people messaging me, "You got to get out of there. Yeah. You okay?" And I'm fine. There's we're okay, and. Then on the Monday, I think it was, Monday or Tuesday, we get a message just because none of the Chinese guys are around.
Yeah.
So it's just us. And you get a message saying the guys are going to come back. They get another 6 days. And that's unheard of. And you go, man, we're going to be here for another 6 days by ourselves eating eggs and rice. And then the next, I think it was.
Sorry, on that point. That's the only thing that they're serving it, like eggs and rice. Is that all you can eat?
Basically, there's the buffet's done. There's nothing.
So they shut everything down.
Everything's. They had a Japanese restaurant, like a bottle shop. All of it shut. No cars in the car park. Nothing.
And was this being communicated via the news services, or were they controlling the messaging over there at this stage?
Yes.
They controlled the messaging.
Yes.
So you're not getting a sense from Australia. I guess you were, but not from internally getting a sense that this is taking over the world.
No. There was something happening. There was a virus. You know, there's concern. So,
when the streets are empty, then you go.
Then where it hit was, you know, I get the phone call saying, you know, the airlines some of them aren't coming in and out. And then you're going, well, what if I'm here and the guys don't come back and the season stopped and the plane stopped coming in and out, and you're stuck here. So that's when it became a concern to me. And when I contacted the club, they were fantastic. They were saying, hey, this is serious, and this is going to take some time. We don't know what's going on with the season. All the imports, you guys can go. And basically, I'm looking throughout the league. I don't think there's any players or any coaches – Western coaches there now. They're all out. Right. And I got they booked a flight for me on the Thursday. We discussed it on Wednesday. On Thursday night, I was on a Singapore airline, and I was out of there.
So how long have you been back in Australia now then?
3 weeks.
Okay, so it's 3 weeks ago you left. At that stage, that break that you had, your team was 19-11, and you were third on the table. Yes.
Well, here's the we were on a we were in 11th. The thing was real tight, and there's two teams that are great, the top two teams, and we beat the second place team at our place, the third place team at our place, and then we won. We went on a road trip and split, and then came back and won two more. So we went from 11th place to 19-11, which put us with four teams tied for third place. And there was a lot of, you know, so third to, if you lost one game, you'd be like ninth place.
Right, okay.
But we moved right up into that top echelon and into the mix. And there was a real, the basketball, I always say over there, it's like, you know, when I was here, the following Collingwood. And it's like the following and the support of Collingwood and the football here, but you've got a billion people, right. A billion four.
Yeah.
So it's the basketball and the support for basketball is huge. And for this to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the whole community was behind the team and, you know, the games were we had great games just before we left. We brought Corey Webster in from New Zealand as our guard. Miles Plumley, who's playing with Perth, was with us, and he left to go to Perth, and then we brought Corey in, and Corey was going and did a great job for us. And we were on a real nice roll. Everybody was excited. And for them to, you know, we get the message the season's right now as we sit. It's they're meeting again in April to make a decision.
They're not going to meet until April.
Not until April.
Okay.
So next month is completely
– Wow.
Quiet. So our guys are in the hotel getting picked up every morning, and they go to the weight room and they come back and they eat lunch, and then at 3:30 they get back in the bus and they go to the practice and come back, and they're not allowed. They have to stay in their rooms.
It's unbelievable. Brian Gorgian's with us this year. We're going to break away. So many questions. The AFL have got a game scheduled in China in it's May or June, so I'll get your thoughts on whether that goes ahead. By the sounds of it, they can almost put a line through it. But it's fascinating listening. Got so many questions for you. It's Kearns Open Season on now with match-winning deals. We'll be back with Brian Gorgian. And we're privileged to have Brian Gorgian, who's a legendary basketball figure in this country, who's been plying his trade over in China and found himself caught slap bang in the middle of what is now this coronavirus epidemic that has taken over the world. Can you just establish, Brian, a couple of people have texted through and said, where were you when this all took place in terms of distance from Wuhan?
I'm in Hangzhou, which is about an hour outside of Shanghai. And I'm about from here to Sydney, away from Wuhan,
right.
where it broke out.
Okay. So I touched on the football, which is to be played in May. What would be your expectation from an AFL point of view?
I'm not an expert on a lot of you guys know more about it than I do. I just know when I was in China, there was nothing – being done where they bring people together.
Right.
All the bars are shut, all the gyms and anything that involves bringing people together, they're staying away from. And I know because of the 14-day incubation period, the month of February is going to be difficult. It's growing. So we're not assembling again till April. To discuss if it's going to go ahead. And right now, just as an outlook at it, I would say doubtful.
So what was the process when you got back into Australia? Did you have to jump through any hoops or anything like that?
You know what? I went right through. Not one word. But my daughter just had her a baby girl, and we elected. I went to an apartment block, Hampton Apartments in St. Kilda, and stayed there for the 14-day incubation period. From everybody. Just, I have a few friends going through some stuff, and my daughter, and I said, man, I'm just going to make sure.
Everything's
so,
okay.
For 2 weeks, and I just watch Netflix, NBA.
And you've had...
It's not a bad deal.
and you've been able to familiarize yourself back with the NBL.
Correct.
For the first time in quite a while. We're interested to get your thoughts. How do you see it?
I'm loving it, to be truthful. I mean, the competition is very close. It's done. The package is so much better. The commentating, the TV package, where they play. And then I just think that Australia now in on a world when you're around Asia and you're in the Philippines, you're in Korea, and they know I've got an Australian background. They all ask, what's going on over there? There's an interest in it, how well the national team did. And everybody, the growth of the competition, and all the imports are talking about, this is a destination. It's the best place to live. It's the best place to play.
Right. So you don't think it's hype, you know, when Melo Ball chooses to come here and play in the NBL and RJ Hampton chooses to come and bypass college and play here. You think that that's going to lead to a lot of other players potentially doing the same thing because of the standard of the basketball?
Correct. And you got to – it's myself and a lot of these guys, Simmons, a lot of these guys' fathers, they all were like – they came to Australia for a 1 year to play a little basketball and go home.
Yeah.
And you fall in love with the country. And everyone that I talk to, Miles Plumlee's playing here in Perth after being in China. The day he gets – he called – 2 days of practice being in Perth, he goes, and he's been in the NBA.
Yeah.
Team's fantastic. I love this place. It's fantastic. And all those top-level guys all say that. The issue with Australia for that has been money. I mean, our what they get paid in China is compared to what you get paid here. It's
What are the top imports getting paid in China now?
Top imports would be $2 million U.S. for 5 months, tax-free.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So that's a big jump on what players would be earning here.
And huge bonuses.
So you got
it's a short season. Mm. And in China, the great thing about China is there's 20 teams, and you don't practice. You know, with the Chinese do for the six-month preseason, it's brutal. But once the season starts, it's like the NBA. You travel and play.
Mm.
So they come in like 3 weeks. They have a 2 week boot camp, and then we start playing some practice games. And then virtually, it's travel and play. And the players love the NBA players. The guys, they love that. We're here. I mean, when I was coaching in the NBL, we'd play on the weekend, and it was a butt grind Monday through Friday. I mean, we went at it. Practices were hard, and this it's play and travel.
And you've obviously coached, talking to Brian Gordon, you obviously coached the national team, the Boomers as well. The talent that they now have at their disposal, is this the greatest Boomers team that Australia's ever been able to assemble?
Well, I don't go back. I go back to Athens in the years before that. I thought that group with Luke Longley and Gaze, and that's the one that was comparable. You throw Simmons into this. There's no doubt in my mind, that this is the best team that they've ever put together. And the other thing about it is, I mean, I had an opportunity when I was there. There's not much to do. I really studied those world games and watched them play. And it's something the country should be proud of, man. They played so well together as a team. And that teamship, I remember when I took over the Boomers, Eddie Jones spoke to our team and he said, the most important thing, Brian, is you got to be, I had no experience. He said, you got to be the best in the world. It's something. And the Americans can run and jump. Lithuania was where we were rebuilding after all those guys retired. And we wanted to have the best teamship. Anybody goes down, all five guys are around them. Anytime there's a free throw, everybody huddle up. Every time a guy makes a shot, the bench is up. You're slapping each other on the ass. And that was Athens. We were far off the mark. To be the best in the world at something, it takes a long time. And my reason for saying this, now when you watch that team, as far as teamship goes and accumulation of guys of that standard, I don't think there's anybody better in the world as far as playing together, moving the ball, communication, closeness. And they were a free throw away. I mean, Mills is at that free throw line, and that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get into a position where you can win a medal. And the last Olympics, the last Worlds, they've been in that position. And you throw Simmons in this, if they can keep that teamship, which isn't going to be easy to do when you start adding guys with that kind of profile, if they can keep that team ship and togetherness, because as a player, he's all about that. He makes everybody around him better. And this could be, they're groomed for this to be the time.
Well, I'm excited about the basketball now for the Olympics all of a sudden. It's great having Brian Gorgian in here. It's great to speak to him. It's a fascinating chat. We'll take our last break. It's open season at Kia with match-winning deals and Australia's best seven-year warranty across the range. Back with Gorge after this. Brian Gorgian's in the studio with us only for a couple more minutes, sadly. Been a fascinating chat. So you think you're going to get back to China? You did. Right now, it's maybe not. So if anyone was wanting to poach you as a coach, right now might be the time.
I've loved it there. I mean, Australia and the time that I spent here and being the national coach, and I'm just so thankful and so grateful. But, you know, it's six championships the last year with the Dragons. We won the whole thing. The national team, we beat Russia, we beat Lithuania, and the Dragons finished. And I hopped on that plane, and I went to China, and I didn't know what to expect. And being involved over the last 11 years and at the age I'm at now, I know the competition. I know the players. I know how to communicate. I know how to deal with that league, and I'm good in that league. And, again, a lot of pluses here. But a lot of things in Australia that used to drive me crazy, always wondering, is the team going to exist? Do we have to merge?
Yeah, yeah.
How many people are at the game? Clinics to get people to come to the game. And then you go to China, and it's like it's like you're coaching Collingwood, and there's a billion four. Money's, you know, you go and get a player, and the owner gives you $1 million and you bring back the player you like and he's 500,000, and the owner looks at you and says, hey man, get back on the plane. If I wanted a $500,000 player, I would have asked for one. Get me $1 million player. Get the hell out of here. So I go, that God, man, in Australia, I would have got a kiss and a hug and a Dutch rub and thank you.
Hey, Brian, we love having you in. Our audience love it as well. It's a unique situation you find yourself in. We'll stay in touch. Hopefully it can work out for you and you get back safely. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Gorgian joining us. We go from basketball royalty to footy royalty. Matthew Pavlich to join us after 8:00.